This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Another episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack. This is a live watch podcast where me and Jordan say hello, Jordan.
Hello.
We're going to watch a wrestling match together. I am a longtime wrestling fan. Jordan is not a wrestling fan at all. Jordan, anything to say before we start tonight?
No, let's get down to the nitty gritty here.
Let's get down to it. The match we're watching tonight is from WWE Money in the Bank 2011. This is John Cena versus CM Punk. Now, we have not seen a John Cena match, correct?
That's right.
You know who he is, though.
Absolutely.
Of course. Do you know who CM Punk is?
Is he the guy that was straight edge?
Yes.
Okay, that is all I know.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you anything about this. I'll give you background and everything after the match.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and get to it here. So we are on the WWE Network. We are at, what's the time we're at, Jordan?
1 hour, 59 minutes, and 15 seconds.
Okay, let's get started here. I'll do a countdown. I'm waiting. My screen is loading here. So we will do a countdown in 3, 2, 1, play. And okay, your volume is up. I can hear it a little bit.
So. Do you want it louder or quieter? Or?
Sure. Turn it up just a little bit, actually.
Okay.
There you go. I'm not going to say much. This okay. Will give you background here.
I'm seeing a straight edge fist.
Dude. And so this is not great audio, but this is important for your understanding. Bold and brazen.
Dude, he looks sleazy, and he looks like he's on drugs, contrary to those X's on his hand.
Right, yeah.
Uh-oh. Silence suspended.
Suspended. Can you believe it? Oh. But look at that. John Cena, the company man, huh?
Yeah. So. Sorry, I'm taking this in.
I want you to.
Dude, Vince McMahon is such a ham.
Oh, it's such a ham. Incredible.
Yeah. Dude. He's humbling McMahon.
Yeah. He's an alpha, you know.
Big time. But here comes Big Dog.
Yeah. Hey, straight up, you can tell who the alpha is there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Look at that with the
Yeah.
troops.
Yeah, so good. They love the troops.
They
Got
love the
to
troops.
get the troops in there, dude.
Gotta get the troops. Well, what about the troops?
Dude. So he's tearing his contract up.
Yeah.
Dude. He's mocking his like move that you can't see me
You
or
can't see
whatever.
me. Yeah.
You don't see me or whatever. I mean, they make it really clear who the heel and the tar is, or what's the good guy called? Just hero or
The baby face.
the baby face?
Well, okay, so who's the heel? Who's the baby face?
The CM Punk guy's the heel. He's in all black and he looks like he's all strung out and he's all mad.
Listen to the crowd.
What's playing right now?
Dude, it's like Shadows Fall or something.
Yeah, they do love him. I guess maybe I'm wrong.
So this is the this is Chicago. This is his hometown.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, yeah.
Now, did he just say it's clobberin' time?
I mean, that's what it sounded like. Is that what he said?
That's what he says, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how, where exactly I am.
Yeah,
I might
yeah.
be ahead of you
We're
or behind
close.
you.
You're probably like a couple seconds ahead.
Okay. So he's the
I'm just
heel.
confused. Yeah, I'm just confused because he just seemed like the heel in the setup that they did.
But everyone loves him here.
They're going crazy, and they all have signs talking about how they're gonna riot and hurt people if CM Punk loses.
Right, yeah. If Cena wins, we riot. You see
Yeah,
that?
I see it. I see that. He's wearing this shirt that's sized in such a way that it just covers his privates,
Yeah.
so it looks like he's not wearing anything.
Yeah.
But it's not like the shirt's not that big.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's awesome. That's how all of the WWE brand shirts are. So
Okay.
and
The
everyone,
weird cut.
yeah. It's like a slim fit kind of, but it's
Yeah.
long. So
Yes. But it's not
everybody comes.
like so long, like
Right.
I don't know, it's very odd.
Yeah, so it's that's how all their shirts are, and a lot of the guys wear the trunks, the short
Yes.
trunks, and so most everybody comes out looking like they're not wearing pants,
Yeah,
but they're
right.
wearing a t-shirt and boots.
Well, they look like they're at some sort of sleepover or something.
Yeah.
It's just because, like you said, the shirts are like weirdly like slim and long, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think the audience. I don't think the audience that wants to hear us talk about that. But I just thought it was bizarre.
So are you taking in this atmosphere here?
Yeah, they're going off for this guy, and he's like feeling it.
Yeah. So what's going on right now? What's he doing? What's the camera showing all that?
It's showing him looking all confident and arrogant, and he's like, "Do you hear that? Like about the people." Because they're
Yeah.
chanting for him, and
It shows the big screen now.
dude, Vince fears Punk. That's cool. Cool.
Did he just kiss
He
someone
just
in the
kissed
crowd?
a lady, yeah, his mom,
Yeah.
and
That's
now
his
he's.
daughter.
So does he? So does he? Does he sit cross-legged like that? Is that like a thing of his, or is this just what he's doing this time?
I
He seemed to be sitting mostly like that when he was talking to the mic in that like video.
Yeah, so that was like he did that time. He doesn't usually do this, but he's been doing it.
Is that a Pepsi logo on his shoulder?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to notice. Me. Can you believe it?
Okay, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, so white trash.
So that's good.
Yeah, what a scumbag.
Yeah, okay, now Big Boy's coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd does sound conflicted. That means he does still have a lot of fans there.
John Cena?
Yeah. Because he's the number one. Right?
He's the number one. He's the alpha.
He's the alpha.
So, can you tell? Okay, this is kind of a leading question, but can you tell the pitch of the fans that are cheering for him?
Like it's all little kids.
Yeah, it's little kids and moms. That's the thing with John Cena is that like the grown up men boo Cena and the kids and the moms love him.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I like that. That's confrontational in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool.
Cuz he wears it.
Oh, yeah, he loves it. And like everybody has said for years and years, and so he doesn't really wrestle anymore. John Cena doesn't.
Okay.
But everyone was saying for years and years that he needs to be a bad guy, that he needs to turn heel, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they never would do it.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool. Part of the reason, and I don't know, I mean, this is just what he says. Who knows how valid this is, but so John Cena, he holds the record for Make-A-Wish, the most Make-A-Wish wishes ever granted.
That's crazy.
And he does a lot of charity stuff.
I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's part of his thing is that I don't want that to compromise my ability to do the
Make-A-Wish stuff, that's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, look, like everybody, and this is kind of a debated thing, but like everybody in the crowd is responding to John Cena.
Yes, dude, who's that weirdo super fan that's like looks just like him in the crowd? Did you see that?
Yeah,
Cena meets Cena.
It's a weirdo super fan.
Are there a lot of those that like try to look like the guy?
Well, not a lot. Well, I mean, define a lot. One is a lot.
Yeah, one's kind of a lot, I guess. Yeah, one's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
If you have one of those, you've made it though. Like if you have one of those guys in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I go to this place and there's going to be a guy that looks just like me and wants to be me. And he's going to be wearing my stuff and he's going to be screaming at me the whole time.
Yeah, that's...
You're a big boy at that point.
Yeah, that's something. So have I been talking too much? Have you been able to take in this atmosphere here?
Yeah, quite. Yeah, yeah.
I
mean, it's high energy already.
Yeah. CM Punk has a lip ring, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
Noted for sure.
Yeah. A lip ring and a Pepsi tattoo.
Dude, those jean big shorts are so good.
Yeah. They really are.
He looks like he should be in a backyard barbecue like situation right now.
That's exactly right. He alternates the jean shorts and khaki cargo shorts.
That's cool. I think that's all I mean, because he's one I'm familiar with, but yes. I think that's what I would have guessed that he wore is cargo shorts.
Yeah. So they've the match has started. They're kind of doing their back and forth feeling out process, right?
Yeah.
And you can see there they're calling spots to one another in the ring.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So did John Cena do steroids?
He has always adamantly denied that he's ever done steroids. What do you think of that? Traps don't lie, brother.
Is that tattooed on your back?
Yeah, it's tattooed on my non-existent traps.
I just want to believe that he is doing the right thing, but
Me too, which is why I believe he is steroids.
You're adamantly hoping.
the thing is he's probably on like the highest grade boutique stuff that like you know how what all the athletes do is they're kind of, they always are just one or two steps ahead of the doctors and the FDA.
Exactly. Yeah, then it gets banned. Like, okay, I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah.
And so he then shifts to something else. And he's like the only one that can get away with that, because he makes a ton of money, but probably like the company is subsidizing that anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what the situation is with him. So what do you think of the action so far?
Yeah, I mean, the CM Punk guy is kind of a character. He's being much more expressive than Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's really hamming it up. He's mocking the guy. He's working the crowd a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it sounded like they were doing some sort of boo, and he did, like, a, to me or to him? And then when he pointed to Cena, they all, like, were booing or whatever.
Yes.
I think it's interesting to see that John Cena, you know what he is, and so he's not really needing to like advance that at all.
No.
He's pretty stoic. Like, you know exactly like what his character is, and you know.
Yeah. And part of that is this is like big match John Cena, where this is a serious thing, where right. you know he's because usually he runs out, he does this routine. He salutes the troops.
Got it.
When he comes out, he runs, but he just kind of walked slowly this time.
Mm-hmm.
If you see CM Punk is calling moves in John Cena's ear again.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I've been noticing that. Is that something that you normally see in these kind of matches?
No, it's just the wrestlers that aren't very good.
Right.
You can tell.
Right.
there you go. What do you think of CM Punk's body?
It's more believable than Cena.
Yeah, but it's like weak, right?
I don't know.
No definition.
I'd look the other way if he was trying to start something with me. I don't know. He looks pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
Cena just looks like it's so unbelievable.
Did you ever see that movie? What's the comedian? Amy Schumer?
Uh-huh.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
She had a movie that came out. I forget the name of it, but John Cena had a cameo appearance in it.
Gosh, yeah.
I
feel like I've seen him cameo, but he's probably done several of those, right?
He's done a few, yeah. So this one, he appears naked, only wearing a towel, like a washcloth, on his private area.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize, like, how, because right here he looks big and like jacked.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
But this context, it's so hard to tell. But in sure. in that, when he's naked and around like a normal person, you realize how like gigantic and cartoonishly yeah. big he is.
Yeah, exactly. And then just buff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, it looked like it looked like a tooth flew out of his mouth.
Yeah, look, you see how he CM Punk was kind of like grabbing at his mouth there?
Yeah.
Cause if you noticed when John Cena hit that clothesline, that was like a pretty rough looking clothesline.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how much you caught that, but
Yeah. It looked like impactful, yeah.
Yeah. So Cena, he's a tough guy.
He's a tough guy. Does McMahon
say that again?
Does McMahon make an appearance
in this match?
Yeah, like does he come out ever?
I don't know. We'll have to watch and see, I guess.
I better see that guy. He's a character.
He is a character.
Yeah, he just did another little lead, like whisper.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very bad at that.
Yeah, he's got no finesse.
He does not have finesse. That's a very good insight.
Like he's super choppy and like just, I mean, like I said, he's kind of funny. He's really hamming it up, but like he's not, you can tell like this is kind of a one-sided working here.
Oh, what meaning Cena is the
yeah,
worker?
It feels like Cena's kind of manufacturing stuff.
That's another great insight. I'm trying to decide how much I should like tip you off to or not.
Is that nearer to the truth?
Well, I mean, so CM Punk is a terrible. He's like the least athletic person ever, and yeah. You clearly picked up on that pretty astutely. So it's just he's because I mean John Cena is. An athlete, like he was he played football and all that. He's an athletic guy.
Right.
CM Punk is not at all.
Right, but he also doesn't have, like, he doesn't even seem gritty either.
No.
Like that scary cowboy guy that you like.
Stan Hansen.
Yes. He's athletic. I'm not saying he's not athletic, but it's like. There's a grittiness there that,
yeah,
you know, gets you there. Well,
exactly. Okay, watch this. Let's see what's going to happen here. No, and that's the thing with CM Punk is that he's like, he's athletic. Yeah, there's no grit to him. He's very like soft and light.
Mm-hmm.
Both. Physically looking, but his movements in the ring and everything, there's just nothing like believable about him. like his movements and everything, you know, like you said, he's choppy, but there's no, it's not like he's brawling or he's just this rough guy.
Exactly. I mean, he's very facially expressive and that seems to carry him.
Once again, an incredible insight. Because the thing about CM Punk is that he's 100% charisma and like X factor.
Right. I believe you when you say that.
Because that. At the beginning where he was just kind of, he was really hamming it up. He was really like soaking everything in. Like he knew what reactions the crowds were going to give. He was really feeding off the crowd, all that.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like that, which I mean, that's in my opinion, more important than being able to physically do stuff in the ring, but it's just, it's very, very stark with him, I think. And especially because, so say what you will about like Hulk Hogan.
Right.
A lot of people think, oh, he's not very good as a wrestler, as like a physical wrestler.
Sure.
I think he is, but I get that. But he's like, you can believe him in some ways because he is like this gigantic, larger than life athlete. I mean, muscles.
Yeah. And, he's got the physicality
and height and everything. Yeah. That looks like a physical specimen.
Yeah.
That theoretically is a good athlete. CM Punk is like not, he's got like a bad body type.
Right.
And he doesn't move very quick or well, or execute moves very well, or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. Like Hulk, I mean, he feels like a superhero. Like,
yes.
You know, he just, his charisma matched with his physicality.
Yes.
Whereas like this guy, he just seems like a, like kind of a white trash like guy.
Yes.
You know, like a lifted truck dude, like, and he could hold his own in a fight, you know, whatever, but like that's, you don't think of him as this like other kind of otherworldly being like you would Andre the Giant or Hulk or whoever, you know.
Which is part of his appeal, is that he's he's like a people's champ type.
Absolutely.
Kind of along those lines, I totally lost my train of thought. That was not you. That was me. Man, what was I going to say? Something about being a people's champ, or him riding in lifted trucks or something. I don't know. So, I totally forgot. Sorry.
So now is it called he's selling that wound when he's like holding his leg like that, like trying to show everyone that this leg is hurt?
Yes.
John Cena.
Yes.
And you usually do that for the purpose of maybe establishing something so you can do other moves and that.
Yeah. Generally it's done to establish a narrative.
Yeah. And then
kind of play off of and work with throughout the match.
Got it.
So what I was going to say, Jordan, is you said that CM Punk could hold him, hold his own in a fight. So, you know, he's had, I think, two UFC matches.
Oh, no. Did he just get, like, they just mopped the floor with him, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't think he can go up against those types. I was more thinking about like a second cousin at a barbecue or something.
Pathetic.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a reality check for these guys, I'll bet, when they try to cross over like that.
Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar.
I mean, that guy's a beast.
But yes, Brock Lesnar is like a legitimate freak.
I know who that is.
Yeah.
Because he's I have a burned image of him. Like he looks like a monster. Like
yes.
He looks like a creature, you know.
Yes, he does. He quit WWE to pursue, I think initially to pursue football. He wasn't a football player. Like he probably played in high school. He did not, to my knowledge, play in college. He was a wrestler in college, but he wanted to play football. So he joined. He got cut by the Minnesota Vikings, but it was like the last cut. Like he played pro football.
Yeah,
like he was good enough to get that far.
Right.
And then obviously had a lot of success in the UFC. So CM Punk, he lost both of his fights very, very badly.
Just a little bit of a wake-up call for him.
Yeah. Because he makes a lot of money. You know, he's a very rich guy. So he hired, this incredible team and trained very, very hard.
I'm sure, yeah.
But it just just pathetic.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Like, he's like, he's this rich man that wanted to be a MMA fighter, so he paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and because of who he is, he's allowed to, you know, be in the UFC and just get destroyed by the, like, these no-name guys, you know?
Yeah, by some guy. Yeah. Dude, I'm seeing some strong juggalos in the audience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Face paint and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah. The only true counterculture left.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right.
Right?
Yeah, I think that you make a good case for them.
Yeah. So what have you been thinking about this match so far?
It seems a little phoned in.
Yeah.
Did
you see his minor threat tattoo?
So sick. Yeah. So sick. the Cobra, the G.I. Joe Cobra.
Yeah.
Symbol, like, all huge on his other arm. This guy's good. I don't know. He's selling something to me. I don't know what it is, but
yeah. Well, look, you're did you see him just kind of fall?
Yeah.
Look, this guy is not an athlete.
Yeah, he's at this point in the match, he seems like winded, like. And Cena, again, is kind of like, it seems like he's kind of carrying the thing. Like, it just isn't, I know it's wrestling or whatever, but
dude, yeah.
Hold on. Cena's doing his hand thing, the hand jive.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh.
But like, I haven't really felt any ounce of believability like that.
Look at this.
Cena has
look at this
been
dive.
Out. Oh, no.
Right. The softest.
Like, yeah, like, it's not, I don't think it's Cena's fault. I just feel like it's taken a lot to show that, like, oh, there have been times where CM Punk is the one, like, in control.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really feel that way.
Right. Yeah. Other than John Cena.
Yeah,
making,
like,
it feel that way.
He's trying to sell the leg and the, you know, and drag the thing a little bit, but
yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. I don't know what qualifies as good or bad, but it just seems kind of like, it doesn't seem like it has a really strong arc that some of these other WWF ones that we've seen have had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't, like, it feels a little lost, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to interrupt the hand jive here.
I got to see the hand jive, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, dude.
Ooh, look at that. So, cool. This is very different, say, than so again, I interrupted myself. That's his that was his signature move if he would have slammed CM Punk.
Got it.
CM Punk was supposed to land on his feet, but again, he's not good enough to do that.
Got it.
So he fell.
He looks really old. Is he?
Meaning, no.
meaning like his. Okay, sorry. Meaning like a quick glance, you know, and he looks like he should be in like maybe his late 20s, but then you look at his face and he looks like he's like 40.
Yeah, he's a very high strung person.
Okay.
And I think, I mean. You and I have been on the road a good amount together.
Yeah.
You know how I react on the road. so some people that wears on them differently.
Yeah.
And I think a combination of like him being high strung, maybe not being entirely built for the road. And I mean, at this point, he's been wrestling for a decade around there. And, you know, he really came up in the indies, the indie wrestling scene. He was like he's kind of the first big indie name to really make it in WWE.
Got it.
So, you know, he's done a lot of traveling and again, just a high strung, stressed out guy, just a lot of grinding. Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to affect you. Again, I forget what I was saying before I interrupted myself. And then the, got him. So again, you're not supposed to really do that.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah, that's kind of, I don't know. Cena might be, I've never noticed that before with this match. Cena might be a little loopy right now.
Yeah, I would think so.
Let's see. Oh.
Okay.
So that's one of his signature submission holds there. At one point, it was called the STFU. No, maybe that was something else. I forget the name of Cena's moves. Oh well. But look at the facial expressions there.
Yeah.
Look at him.
The crowd is they're ready for him. They love this guy.
They love him. This is his crowd.
Yeah. Do wrestlers often have a strong hometown crowd?
It depends. I mean, him, he loves Chicago. Big surprise, he's a Cubs fan rather than a White Sox fan. Just rich. Think about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's like, he reps Chicago big time. So he, of course, he's going to have a big hometown following. Cena is from Boston or West Newbury or I don't know, whatever those places, West Roxbury or I don't know, something. But essentially Boston, he doesn't really have a big, I mean, he's getting the same reaction no matter where
wherever.
He is.
I never thought of that before.
Yeah, I mean they've all got hometowns, but a lot of guys don't make, or a lot of wrestlers, they don't make it part of their gimmick. Whereas if he did, and that's really smart because that way you're guaranteed your fan base in a certain area, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like being a band that sings about your hometown and stuff.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Plays locally, you know, emphasizes playing locally a lot and, you know, makes it a part of your identity or whatever.
Yeah. So,
okay,
the crowd is
gonna tap? Yeah, the crowd's going.
They're loving it. Have you had any thoughts on the commentary?
I haven't noticed it.
Okay. That's a good thing, maybe. So, okay, this is CM Punk's, one of his signature moves. That's his main submission hold.
Okay.
So, let's see. Everyone is behind this match here.
Yeah.
I I told you when I was at one of the SummerSlams I went to, John Cena lost. It was a match with him and Brock Lesnar.
Okay. Oh,
that's it. That's his move.
Oh.
Look at the crowd.
Now they're turning it. Yeah, now they're really trading their little moves back.
Yeah. So it was a Brock Lesnar versus John Cena match. And essentially Brock Lesnar, you know, there's a lot of back and forth in these matches and this kind of epic struggle.
Yeah.
This match, Brock Lesnar, it was totally one-sided. And he just beat up John Cena for a few minutes and won. and there was like families with little kids around us, you know.
Yeah.
And they were all crying. All the little kids were just sad and crying.
Oh, bad. What's your guy? A bummer. It's a little superhero.
Yeah. And they were so sad. And I remember I looked at a dad. There's a dad holding his, it was, you know, they were our kids' age or younger.
Yeah, yeah.
Bawling. And the dad, I made eye contact with him and he just shook his head at me. Oh. He was so bummed.
Yeah, exactly. And all the adults hate Cena.
Yeah, boo!
Yeah. Funny. What is they chanting? I can't quite.
I don't know. Is it GTS? Is that what it is? Maybe. I lost the audio on your end. So that's all right.
All right. Sorry.
Oh, there we go. But you were able to hear. I mean, the important thing is that you can hear the audio throughout.
Yeah, yeah. They're like you said. They're really behind it.
Yeah, that move where he does a leg drop, but from the top rope like that. That's one of like my favorite moves in all of wrestling.
That was a good move. Yeah.
Think about what you're doing. I mean, there's padding and there's give to the ring, but you're just jumping in the air and just landing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, big surprise. It's like terrible on your body.
I was going to say, whatever makes the crowd go, who cares about it? We don't give a darn about your body. You get in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hogan, you know, Hogan does the big leg drop.
Yeah.
Even just that from the ground, that just destroys the body. I mean, he's had 11 back surgeries or something that, you know. Uh-oh. Let's see. Oh. Here we go again.
Adjustment.
Look at that. Can't get him. Can't get him.
He's showing his frustration to the ref.
Very respectfully, though.
Yeah, right.
He has a big bottom. John Cena.
Just pure muscle butt.
Yeah, but it looks like he's wearing a diaper, kind of.
Yeah, think about how much this guy just lifts in the gym. Just like pushes over his head.
Believe me, I do think about that.
I'll bet you do. You're joking, but I'll bet you do.
Yeah, of course I do.
This guy's insane.
He's something. Do you see him on shows and stuff now?
I feel like I do. Yeah. He seems like he's insinuated himself more so.
Yeah.
He was in some really lame commercial. It was, more embarrassing than I would have thought. I forget what it was. Some grocery item.
Oh.
I don't know. Okay, Punk's going to town on him.
Yeah. So, because Cena was going to do his move, the attitude adjustment.
Got it.
From the second rope.
And now they're just both on the ropes this whole time, up top.
Yeah.
Oh. That was a cool little move.
Yeah. The Frankensteiner.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, yeah. Oh, oh.
Oh.
Look at this.
Oh. Ooh. Oh.
He fell out to the ring. Because that was his, that's CM Punk's finishing move. The
so
GTS.
He got him right there.
Yeah.
What's
he didn't.
GTS?
What do you think? Well, no, you wouldn't guess. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Okay.
It was from a Japanese wrestler.
Oh. Okay.
That makes a little more sense if it's a Japanese person doing it, I guess, right? And it's called Go to Sleep.
Go to sleep.
It's an instruction.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
What did... Oh!
Dude, yes. This guy is so good. He's such a freaking character.
Oh, look at his suit.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. He's, I mean,
so now
he's...
They're just...
They do not like each other.
They're having this epic stare down. That was awesome. That was the best move of the night so far.
I agree.
Staring at each other like that.
I agree. Look at. Ring the bell.
Dude, yes. His crony. Who is that other guy? Dude. Who's that crony of his?
It's a former wrestler. His name's John Laurinaitis. He's like a executive with the company. Oh, look at John Cena.
Is he like, we got to do this the right way? Like,
that's right.
Right, like I got to do it my way. Like,
yep. Uh oh.
Dude. Oh.
Look at that.
Dude, distraught.
Distraught.
Right.
He's got
a 1,000 yard stare going. Oh my gosh.
The Navy SEAL stare.
Yeah, the Navy SEAL stare.
Look at him.
Dude. I can't get enough of that McMahon. He's something else.
I cannot either. I truly cannot get enough of him. I mean, I wish there's so many stories about him. I don't want to necessarily take away from the moment here of celebration, but now did you catch in the video that CM Punk is no longer under contract?
Right, he's liberated.
And so if he wins with the title, he can take that anywhere he wants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did gather that. Dude.
Incredible.
He's great.
He was a very, very prominent on-screen bad guy for several years.
I didn't know that, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Dude, who is this?
That is a wrestler named Alberto Del Rio. What he has, it's called the Money in the Bank contract, which is he won a match where he's got a contract for a title match, and he can cash it in at any point.
Got
it. And so what a lot of people do is they'll wait until the champion wins a match, but they're tired and they're beat up, and then they'll run out at the end and they'll cash it in and pin the guy and win.
Got
real
it.
Okay. Backhanded way.
Yeah. Cheap shot,
yeah. But yeah, so anyways, Vince McMahon, he was prominent.
Sorry, someone's just got a huge Pepsi symbol as their sign. That's great, dude. Okay, sorry.
That's all right. And so, look, the man of the people, CM Punk, going through the crowd, no contract. What is Vince McMahon going to do now?
That's awesome.
And he's, oh boy.
He's furious and he's sad.
Furious and sad. There you go. So that's it. So, okay, a little bit of Vince McMahon stuff. So he, yeah, in what's called the Attitude Era, you know about that,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So he was like the top bad guy in the Attitude Era.
Okay.
And he would go against Steve Austin, Stone Cold.
Got it.
Yeah, and I mean, no surprise, he's the best character that they have. Vince McMahon as an on-screen villain is the best character they've ever had.
I believe that for sure.
Just like incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome.
There's so many real life stories, and like the guy is so eccentric and bizarre.
Yeah, and he's truly larger than life.
Truly. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. So one of the famous ones was, up until like a few years ago, he didn't know what a burrito was.
Get out of my face.
But here's the thing. He would eat one virtually every day for lunch and call it a steak wrap.
Yeah, the guy's real
scared. Go get me a steak wrap. And so someone that, okay, like we got to get him a burrito.
Oh my God.
And he didn't know what a burrito was. There's, obviously, again, so many. So there's...
I couldn't believe that. My mind is still reeling about him with the refusal to call this wrestling and the language he's made up.
Yep. So that's...
He's insane.
He truly is. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you a little bit. We'll get to the match in a minute. I wanted to talk to you about, if you've had any time to reflect on what I kind of dropped on you last time about the language and the certain terms and the banned words and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I did mull it over. I think it just adds to the intrigue for sure. I mean, knowing that brings a new kind of level, I think.
Yeah.
It makes it a little more special, I think.
Yeah, because you are truly going into another world.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's total buy-in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, I even though I don't like that, and
right.
I mean, that those things are almost universally despised about WWE.
Sure they are.
And it's,
I'm sure they are.
It's just, and it's only gotten worse from, you know, from then until now. It's really, really out there.
Yeah.
But it's truly, he has created his own world where he controls everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's important. That was important information for me to know.
Yeah.
And I think that adds a completely new, like, layer to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I mean, as an outsider, this whole proposition, you have to understand it. It's very twisted to an outsider that's seeing all this.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch someone attempt to codify it and like make it its own like living like universe in a like real concrete way is pretty bold. And it's interesting.
It's bold.
You it's know, it's, yeah.
And I mean, you know, they don't acknowledge other wrestling companies, right?
I didn't know that, but you saying that is absolutely no surprise.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Nothing else really. I mean, they'll kind of do it a little bit now for certain people, but I mean, in general, no. It's nothing existed before WWE,
right?
And being a WWE superstar. So just another little Vince McMahon tidbit. Like one of his favorite things, like the thing that he thinks is like the funniest in the world, is to push people who are fully clothed into a swimming pool.
Yeah, I mean, how old is this guy?
He's in his mid-70s now.
Okay. Yeah. And does he, how like, how much of a face does he remain in these events? Is he out there mixing it up like we just saw?
Not so much anymore, especially with COVID stuff going on and all that. Not really.
Yeah.
A lot of that has shifted to his daughter Stephanie and his brother-in-law, Triple H. And you know who Triple H is, correct?
Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. So they're more or less in charge now, but he still kind of has the final say on everything. And I mean, essentially, he runs everything, but there's kind of other people who help out now, I guess.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of these as I can. So there's a story where they were in their administrative building, their corporate offices, and there was a wrestler there for some reason, and he was sitting in a chair, I guess, waiting for a meeting or something. And Vince McMahon walked by with a couple other people, and he accidentally stepped on the wrestler's foot, and the wrestler didn't say anything, and so they walked by, and then a couple minutes later they turned around and they walked back, and Vince stepped on his foot again.
Okay.
The guy didn't say anything. Vince kept doing it, walking by and stepping on the guy's foot to see if the guy would confront Vince McMahon about it. And the guy never did.
Yeah, I mean, he's the ultimate like power man, and like he's gonna test you. And
yes,
it seems like in any scenario he'd be in, he would just want to like test the room.
Yeah.
Like I'd hate to see the guy at like a funeral or something.
Oh,
you know?
Dear. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's like, you know, that thing that like people from where I grew up have.
Yeah.
I hope it's not in me much anymore, but like where right, or like people from Bakersfield or something, like it's where we have to test you right away.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna push instantly to see like where your limits are and where your
exactly.
line is.
Exactly.
And like how cool you are, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of one of those things.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It seems like it.
Yeah. Other Vince McMahon isms. He won't allow anyone to sneeze in his presence.
Come on.
Because it shows a lack of control. Like, and that's something that he cannot control, is himself sneezing.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Or like yeah. anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
There's another story. This one's a little bit hazy and potentially very exaggerated just from wrestlers telling it. But in the early 90s, I guess he was out with all the other wrestlers. They were at a strip club, and he demanded that all the wrestlers perform their finishing move on him.
No
so
way.
just he just took everybody just took turns, you know, hitting a body slam or a elbow drop or whatever on Vince McMahon.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Or do you just want to believe that?
I believe it 100%.
I guess I have no reason not to.
Yeah, why would you not believe that?
Yeah, that's just really, again, it's a twisted, so twisted, the whole thing.
Yeah, like, it's a scene. He's talked about, like, if he, you know, he works out, like, he's very, very regimented and
right.
compulsive about his diet and his exercise. Like, he works out like crazy. There's a muscle and fitness magazine cover with him on it from just a few years ago. I think he was 69 years old. And it's like, it's him just totally jacked, wearing like this giant chain around his neck. So, you know, he's very fastidious about that, but he's got his cheat meals. You know, they all, like, body guys, they all have their cheat meals. Where they can have anything they want. And by the way, you're not going to do this, but I love watching. I mentioned off air that I don't watch a lot of YouTube videos. What I do watch, though, are I love watching bodybuilders eat their cheat meals.
You're truly sick in the head. That is so sick.
It's always without fail. First of all, they all have the same posture when they eat, like the same table manners and stuff. Elbows on the table, holding a fork like a toddler and just shoveling the food into their mouth like Pig Champion.
You better put that out, man.
You better put that out, man. Bike's on fire, man. Better put that out. They all the bodybuilder guys, when they eat their cheat meals, they all are so degrading to themselves when they're like while they're doing it, like they're just so self-loathing. There's body issues there, obviously. Image issues. But anyways, so Vince McMahon, he'll talk about how, like, if he eats a cheat meal, like if he wants Oreos, he's gonna eat like an entire box of Oreos.
Right, he just will go. But
just like, I have to, and I think his reasoning is like, which actually this makes sense to me, but it's, again, it's that kind of twisted bodybuilder, like bro science of like, I have to like feel disgusting after, so I don't want this food all the time.
Oh my goodness.
Just very unhealthy. Anyways. So the match, what did you think of the match? Overall thoughts. And I will say this is a special request by Kevin Hare. He was the one that thought up the title of the show, You Don't Know Billy Jack. So as a sign of respect for him and a way to say thank you, we're doing this match for him. This is one that people, this is not on my initial list, but this is one that people hold in very high regard and certainly at the time thought it was one of the greatest matches of all time. What did you think of it?
I mean, I wouldn't have gotten that kind of impression.
Okay.
It seemed pretty like boilerplate, like as far as, you know, they did the big setup with the guy talking about what he, you know, what he lost and what he wanted, the CM Punk guy, and then, you know, McMahon was in the mix, and then they kind of did their thing, which, like I said, it just didn't seem, it felt like, to me, it felt like an early foregone conclusion, and I should have said this during the thing to make this hold a little more weight, but it seemed early on, like, okay, well, like, CM Punk can't lose this match, like, it's not gonna happen.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how important that is to, like, a wrestling fan, but it's, like, it kind of, like, trailed off for me as far as, like I said, it felt like John Cena was kind of leading the whole thing, and he never really seemed behind, but he had to act like pretty far out that he was. And then, you know, truly the highlight for me was McMahon staring him down and then sending that goon to go ring the bell. Really shoved that guy to go ring the bell. That was good. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I couldn't, I don't know if I missed anything or didn't pick something up, but it just seemed, it didn't seem like it'd be on any vaulted list or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So we'll get into kind of the context and the background of it. First of all, obviously everybody talks bad about WWE, and there's so many complaints about they should make this guy a champion, or they should make this person, or this woman needs to be a bigger star than she is, whatever it is. One thing they always seem to do is when they set up somebody to where it's like a big crowd favorite, or someone that feels like maybe an underdog, but they're getting their chance.
Yeah.
They always seem to pay off that story, at least in the short term. They always seem to give the people what they want in those matches and those moments.
Sure.
So that's something. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing if it's a foregone conclusion that someone's going to win, or the guy that is supposed to win is going to win.
Right.
The wrestler, I shouldn't say guy, the wrestler. I don't know. I can see that both ways. If you're kind of looking at it from like a logical, if you're taking like a hardcore analytical, like, wide view of the thing, well, this story was set up to where this person said that they were going to do this and this, and they were going to win, and that's who the crowd wants to win, so it only makes sense then that they should win, so of course they're going to win, and then that happens.
Right.
You can make an argument either way, that's good that they do, because that shows logical storytelling and progression and a payoff that everybody wants. Or you could say, well, it's too obvious, you know, what fun is that, or that's not interesting.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. Anyways, so the background to this, like I said, CM Punk was an indie wrestler, big name on the indie wrestling scene, and got signed by WWE years ago, 2006 maybe. And so again, like I said, he was like the first big indie name, because he was the 2000s is when independent wrestling really kind of blew up, and there's Ring of Honor became a big company on the independent scene, and just a lot of cool, it was like this cool underground thing, like, oh, you know, there's WWE, but the real wrestling and the good wrestling happens on these independent shows. Totally false. All of that stuff stinks on wheels. It's all bad. Believe me. But, you know, so it's like there's this like underground show of support, and this, I don't know, it's kind of like hardcore, I guess, right? But
yeah.
I don't think we ever think that In Control is the best band in the world, right?
Right.
But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, so he got signed by WWE, and it had a lot of his hardcore fan base, like real dedicated fan base, like stuck with him, and he obviously gained more fans, and so he was seen as like the champion of independent wrestling. Like, he was really like, this is our guy, you know, and our guy has finally made it, and our guy, right, we want him to be champion. And there's a lot of it, I think, played into some of the backstage politics, where at the time John Cena was, see, he's the company guy, and the company chose him to be the top guy, and no matter what the fans say, he's going to be the top guy. Because you hear the reactions, a lot of the older male fans don't like him,
right?
And oh, because he's the company guy and he's so boring and he always wins and blah, you know, just that kind of thing, standard stuff. The kids and the moms, they're the ones that like him. But you know, there's this sense of, well, he's not our guy and we don't like him. So why is the company continuing to make him the top guy, even though he gets booed and he should be a bad guy? And just all this kind of stuff. Like, he's the corporate guy.
Right.
Right. That's the basic. He's the handpicked corporate champion. And this guy, CM Punk, he's like the people's champion.
Yeah.
He's the homegrown guy. And they played off of that, as you saw throughout this feud of theirs. And there, CM Punk one night came out he's a high strung guy. I think he does not have very good interpersonal communication skills, where he'll really, I mean, I don't either. You know that about me. I'm trying to get better, but, I think he had a lot of issues with people backstage and kind of dealing with things, but it came out in, okay, do you know what a shoot is? The term work and shoot.
You've used them gratuitously, and I should know, but I don't really know.
Okay, so a work is, that's when everything is fake. So John Cena was selling, and like he had a hurt leg. That's
right.
he was working. He was pretending that he had hurt leg. That's a work.
Okay.
A shoot is a real thing that happens within the confines of wrestling. There's instances in the past where someone has a match. Somebody has shot on a wrestler, or a match has turned into a shoot where they start fighting for real or something. There's also something called a worked shoot, which is something that's done, which is pre-planned and it's agreed upon by everybody, but it's done to seem like it's real. In the confines of real life rather than in the confines of wrestling.
Got it.
Does that make sense to
you?
Yeah,
that makes some sense. Yeah, I get it.
So, this is
kind of blur all the lines, yeah.
Yeah. So, this is everything that else that happens, this is part of wrestling, but this is real. This is actually happening. So anyways, at a certain point that summer, CM Punk did a worked shoot promo where he came out, and that was him. He was sitting in the middle of the stage or the entrance ramp, cross-legged. And what he did was this was agreed upon by everybody backstage, Vince McMahon and I think Triple H. Then they said, look, go out and say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about anybody that you want. And so he came out and said, just aired a lot of his very real frustrations that he doesn't like, you know, Vince McMahon. He doesn't like the way the company is run. He doesn't like that John Cena is like the corporate champion. He feels like a lot of other people don't get a chance to move up the ladder. At one point he said, you know, I would like to think that when Vince McMahon is dead, that the company will be better, but his son, like his dumb son-in-law or something, he's going to take over and it's going to be just as bad or something like
right,
that.
Pretty
heavy
goes.
Stuff. Yeah. And so that, when that happened, that like blew up on the internet. Cause this was, CM Punk was pretty synonymous with like the hardcore internet wrestling community. He would post on message boards years ago. He was pretty friendly with fans, and you know, and again, it's like the real diehard wrestling fans. They're into this independent stuff, and they're posting on the internet, and they're helping CM Punk become a bigger star and all this stuff. So it's just, there's this long history with a lot of fans and CM Punk. And so this happened, and it's like, oh man, because he was voicing all of the frustrations that all of these fans had had for the past decade or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that is what led to the atmosphere and the kind of the tension and the environment that we saw in the match.
So how do you know that that wasn't scripted?
Because it came out in, I forget if he did an interview where he said that, or if it came out in one of like the new, do you know about the newsletters
or
the dirt sheets, as they're called?
Dude, come on. All I can guess is that it's probably very hard to unsubscribe.
Well, certainly. Yeah. Well, so there's these insiders. The main one is called Dave Meltzer. And there's a lot of people that pretend to be like insiders and break this inside news and stuff. Essentially, at this point, he's the only legitimate one. And he's been doing this for close to 40 years now.
Okay.
He has a newsletter called the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. There's been a few other people who are like kind of as much legitimate journalists as you can get in professional wrestling.
Sure.
Of course, he is not a legitimate journalist. Like he's
right.
He's not like a good writer or anything.
No, of course.
And at the end of the day, he's a wrestling fan and. I mean, he's been able to make a very, very good living off of this, but he has the inside information. So he's got sources within the different companies and all that.
Right.
And so I know he reported that, this was this worked shoot and this wasn't scripted. He was allowed to say anything he wanted to. And I think it's also come out in several other places and in several other ways that, yeah, I said this and, we let him say whatever he wanted to or whatever. So,
got it.
I mean, again, everything has to be taken with a grain of salt because, a source of Dave Meltzer could tell him the wrong thing or tell him the fake thing. And that has certainly happened. There's examples of that happening in the past. So it's just, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, but
that's one of the more fascinating aspects of the whole thing is what you guys all decide to like believe or what crosses the threshold of legitimacy. Like, okay, well, like that's like what really happened. And
right.
What stages does that have to go through for like that to be real as opposed to like not, you know?
Certainly. And that's, I try to stay out of a lot of that. I don't like to know the backstage, like gossip and info and stuff, because first of all, it's just not fun, but it also, there really is like, well, okay, is that what, like we're all basing this on like one person who heard from a source inside the company. Again, like there's this kind of facade of legitimacy. Like, well, I mean, he's a journalist. He wouldn't report that otherwise. But it's like, no, he's.
exactly. That's interesting.
But it's not like, and a lot of people don't like that guy, Dave Meltzer. And they like, well, like he has no integrity as a journalist and he supports these companies. He should be neutral. But he clearly has a bias towards this company or does not like this company or whatever. And it's like, okay, what are we talking about here? He makes a ton of money, though. Tons of money.
Oh, I bet. It's probably very lucrative to do that.
Oh, man. And he's made a ton of money for years. I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, because I've read old issues and stuff, and just a lot of the stuff is known about the guy. But
yeah,
so it's always been, well, no, not always. I think in the early, late 80s, early 90s, it was something like $4.99 a month to get his newsletter. And I think it was like every month or every week you get a, or two times a month, something, you get a newsletter in the mail. And at that point, he had 1,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it always has been $10 a month. I don't know. Anyways. I want to say it's always been, Anyways, in the early 90s, he was making thousands of dollars a month just from this
wrestling newsletter.
Yeah. And, you know, it's only grown at this point. So, I mean,
good hustle.
Good hustle. Good for him. And I mean, it's a ton of work, but, you know, I wouldn't.
But he loves it.
He loves it. Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of the background. I didn't want to tell you any of that before.
Yeah.
I wanted you to look at it from like kind of, well, again, what we're supposed to do here is you coming in blind and looking at this thing without much context or understanding. I personally, I don't know if you, got this or not, but I don't like CM Punk.
Yeah, I think you wore that one on your sleeve.
Yeah, like he stinks.
Yeah,
like I didn't watch him, you know, start out in the independent scene and go to WWE. Like he's really hacky and embarrassing. Like he X's up his tape or whatever. He wears like, he'll wear like a H2O shirt,
dude. Yeah,
you know, or like,
yeah,
hooded sweatshirt. I mean, come on, you know, what are we doing here? There was so he likes the Cro-Mags and okay. Rancid. So you know Casey Watson. So Casey at one point was playing, it might still, I don't know, but he Casey knows Lars Fredriksson.
Right. And they were in some sort of group.
Casey was also playing in the Cro-Mags for some period of time. And Casey also played in No Tolerance at one point. And so for a while Doug and Justin were trying to get Casey to have CM Punk wear a No Tolerance shirt on WWE.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
It really would have been. But alas, what are you going to do? So I don't like CM Punk. I don't think that match is very good. I think the crowd atmosphere is unreal. Like it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Even if I don't have much like emotional connection to it, but it's like, that's real. That's a palpable energy there.
Yeah. I agree.
And I mean, again, I don't like CM Punk. He's like, he's the least athletic, like least believable pro wrestler, like ever. And he's an example of someone who, because what used to happen with wrestlers, how people became wrestlers was, it was like either really like just sketchy people, or it was former athletes, like pro football players,
right,
who maybe weren't quite good enough to be in the pros, or maybe they played a little bit in the pros, but they found out about this wrestling and thought, I can make money doing this. It was, you know, it's a hustle. But I mean, CM Punk is like a diehard, lifelong wrestling fan, and he is an example of somebody who, does not have any kind of athletic background, but loves pro wrestling so much to the point where the guy truly gets pro wrestling. I mean, you picked up on that. He really does understand it.
Yeah,
he's very charismatic. A lot of people connect with that character. I don't, but a lot of people do, and people really like his promos. And again, he's got something. I mean, even you were expressing that.
Yeah,
he's got something, and he really understands like the psychology of wrestling.
Yeah.
And through sheer force of will, he's like Henry Rollins.
Right, exactly.
He got so far on so little actual talent.
Yeah, just willpower.
Sheer willpower. Good for him.
Cool, yeah, which is cool.
Yeah. But anyway, so many people connected with him, and I remember on the Bridge 9 board, you know. Just everybody was like, because that finally felt like, oh, this is going to change now. WWE is going to be different now because, like, oh, they're going to, if they make him the champion, like, oh, this is going to be like the best thing because then, like, all these other people will have chances and all this
open
stuff.
The door to the upper man.
Yeah. So there was, when he won, there was, I mean, leading up with that promo and all this, there was just so much energy and buzz. And when he won, it truly did feel like, man, like they did it. Like, oh, he won. This is all going to be different now. Of course it wasn't. And they ruined the whole thing in like 2 weeks anyways.
Sure, I'll bet.
You know, but I mean, honestly, I do think he has had a lasting impact in terms of, independent guy, wrestlers, that's primarily where WWE talent comes from now, rather than like homegrown people. I think he has had a lasting impact. He left the company in 2013, I think. There's a lot of disputes, very, very sordid relationship between him and the company.
Right.
And I mean, the guy really grinded and was just so burnt out. but he left the company. He has never come back to WWE.
Does he still wrestle?
He does not. No. Hmm. No, he doesn't. and he's such a prideful guy and has such a strong will and is so stubborn seeming that I don't know if he, I mean, never say never. He actually did do some kind of commentary on a WWE show, not a wrestling thing, but kind of like a sports talk show for WWE.
Got it.
So he did do some of that, but I don't know if he would just be too stubborn and you know pigheaded to come back to that after saying he never would, you know.
Right.
That's a he's got a lot of pride, and you know, so someone like me who does not would gladly, you know, go back. But so anyways, I don't like that match. I don't think it's very good. The atmosphere is cool, but it's like it's very sloppy and boring in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy's just not the guy's not athletic enough, and he tries to do things that are outside of his realm of being able to do them.
Right.
It's like flipping out of that move that John Cena does, where he puts you on his shoulder and he flips you over to the side. That's a very, I mean, that takes a lot of skill. And so it just, I don't know, all that stuff just looks really bad.
Yeah. If you can't pull something like that off, then it really kind of exposes a lot.
Yeah. And like you said, there's no grit to him. And so if there's a certain type of match you're working where you're just kind of brawling and it's ugly and messy anyways, you can really cover a lot of mistakes with that because nothing is supposed to be crisp, and you're not really doing these like big choreographed moves. You're
It's a style.
Kind of punching back and forth. Yeah. So, anyways, that's kind of the information. So, I mean, does your view of the match change at all knowing that? Did how much of that were you able to pick up on? Did any of that come through?
No, not really. I mean, I think you're right in that the crowd was electric, and you know, it was interesting to watch the intro scenes, and I'm like, okay, this guy is going to be like, they're going to just hate this guy. And then, you know, when he comes out, they just totally loved him. And, you know, that definitely caught me off guard. But as far as like a match, or, you know, you're searching for transcendent elements in these matches we're watching, there wasn't any feelings like I've been able to get out of, you know, the other ones for the most part.
Yeah. Okay. This is very postmodern, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
The shades of gray, Jordan, right? Where you
think
someone's going to be one way, but, all right, that's it. Do you have any plugs, Jordan?
I do have a plug.
Okay. All right.
I have a plug. I want everyone to go out and buy my friend. My friend's got a new book. His name's Scott Teal, and his book is out on Crowbar Press. It's called Raising Kane, From Jimmy Ault to Kid McCoy. It's by Frankie Kane and Scott Teal. Because if you ask any pro wrestler who plied their trade during the 50s and 60s who they consider to be the top mind in wrestling, invariably the name Frankie Kane will appear at the top of the list. Buy that book, Crowbar Press. That's my plug.
Okay. Wonderful. All right.
They're professional. That's a professional wrestling publisher.
Yeah, we know.
And, you might like it. You might like some of the stuff that they do.
Wonderful.
I mean, I get the emails all the time.
Yeah, I know you do. You cannot unsubscribe to that list. That's like ordering from like Stormfront or
yeah, exactly. I'm locked in here, so I might as well plug these guys.
Yeah, ordering from Rockorama.
I will say though, I years ago I got you something from this press.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is very nice, and I have corresponded with him on and off over the years. So
incredible.
I'm joking, but I'm also, I, you know, if you like wrestling, you should buy something from that guy. He's Scott Teal. He seems like a really nice guy.
By all accounts, he is a very nice guy. And the book you got me was the Stan Hansen book, The Last Outlaw.
That's right.
And it's awesome. It's great. Great, great, great book.
Yeah, it seemed really good. He just seems like he knows what he's doing, and he seems very unpretentious and nice, this guy.
Yeah, yeah. By all accounts, like I said, not just you, but other people have expressed similar things. So
yeah,
very nice. Cool. What was your relationship with your parents like growing up?
Oh, it was pretty good.
That's my inappropriate question I'm asking this time.
You need to get deeper. That wasn't nearly as disturbing as all the other ones.
Yeah, I'm running out of steam, aren't I?
Yeah. Asking for like my kid's social security number or whatever.
Do you take any prescription medication?
There you go. Now you're back.
I've struggled this week,
I think you went so deep that it got normal. It's like when someone has a disgusting, their mind is so sexually perverted that, like, they just like normal, like a, you know, just a normal thing.
Yes.
It's gotten so far, you know?
Now it's just like, what's your relationship like with your parents?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Well, I should be glad we're at that point.
Yeah, no, but you know what, though? I mean, shame on me, because I know you like your parents, so that's no fun. It's no fun.
It's no fun, yeah.
No fun. Boring.
What's your plug? You've always got a plug. Yeah, I don't ever have a, I pulled out one plug.
That's good. You can follow me on Twitter. If you want the truth about Burger King, please follow me on Twitter at _ burning spirits. Take the blindfold off, everybody.
You're on some kind of crusade.
Yeah, a righteous one.
Yeah, you gotta believe in something, I guess, huh?
Yep.
Burning Burger King down. That's yours.
That's right. It's a systemic problem throughout the world. Yeah. It's over 17,000 locations.
Okay. Oh,
despicable.
Man. Yeah.
All right. That's it, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Jordan, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.